I would say number one is proper training, empowering the staff to report errors, but just making the staff feel like it's okay to report errors. I would say even getting the pharmacists involved in the training so that staff can hear from higher level people. So when the staff can hear from pharmacists or a physician on the effects of medication errors and what happens, it may make the nurses more aware, more conscious.
Hey out there, welcome back to the Nursing Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this episode. Today we are talking about medication errors in nursing homes, kind of what a medication error is, how they happen, how we can prevent them. But we're not doing that alone. We have the fantastic Angela Gaines on to walk us through that process. But now it is time for the nursing home regulation question of the week and your opportunity to win this mug. It's a Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug. It's white with red trim, red writing. It shows that you are a fan of this show, which we all know there is maybe a half dozen of you, the dirty half dozen, that are actually are fans of this show. But, you know, you can remind yourself every morning as you drink your coffee that you are my number one fan. How do you win it, you might ask? The tricky question. You're going to go to TikTok at Justice for Residents. You're going to find the question of the week video. So you're looking for a thumbnail that has the movie 12 Angry Men on it. 12 Angry Men. You're going to click on that. You're going to comment your answer as well as your favorite law-related movie. My favorite law-related movie is the original, not the one they made, I think, in the 90s, but the original black and white 12 Angry Men where dude spends, you know, an hour and a half convincing everybody that an individual is not guilty. Tremendous movie. Love that movie. Fantastic movie. You thought it was going to be Legally Blonde too, but you're wrong. It's 12 Angry Men. So, random winner will be selected on Sunday. Check out our TikTok or at shinkfirm.com/podcast/giveaway. Prizes ship at the end of the month. All right. I think that the difficulty level this week for the question is going to be, let's say, medium. Actually, let's make it a little bit harder. It's medium hard because I don't know when you're listening to this, because this could change depending on the current administration. So who knows if this is even this might not even be accurate by the time that you hear it. So maybe, you know, whatever you think is the right answer is the right answer. Under 42 CFR 483.35B, the nursing home must meet or exceed a minimum of how many hours per resident day for total nurse staffing? Is it A, 3.48 hours per resident, B, 4.48 hours per resident, or C, 5.48 hours per resident? And that answer is A. As of the time that I'm recording this, the nursing home must provide that resident with at least 3.48 hours of nursing, hands-on nursing care per resident per day. Now it's time for the meat and potatoes of the episode. Again, talking about medication errors, not doing that alone. We have the fantastic Angela Gaines on the program. Angela Gaines is a registered nurse, legal nurse consultant, and certified coding specialist with over 22 years of experience in various nursing settings, including skilled nursing, chart auditing, and clinical and coding validation. She started her company, ALG Nurse Consulting LLC, in 2023 and specializes in medical record reviews and legal and clinical nurse consulting services. And we're so happy to have her on today. Angela, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So everybody gets a softball question at the beginning. So kind of my softball question is basically, what is a medication error in a nursing home? Like when we say medication error, what are we talking about?
We are talking about wrong medications, wrong route, wrong dose, even given something for blood pressure that was supposed to be high, but they didn't check it and they gave it for low blood pressure. So it could be route, medication, wrong person.
When you say route, what does that mean?
Route means the way that the medication is given or taken. So by mouth, under the skin, subcutaneously, intravenous, rectal, nasal, eyes, ears, that type of thing.
In your experience, how common are medication errors? Is this something happening like multiple times a shift, like once a year?
No, it's very common. Honestly, it probably happens every day. The statistics say about up to 20-something percent of residents experience a medication error in a nursing home.
My
So it's
goodness.
very prevalent, very high.
We've talked about, you know, the different ways that you can mess up the administration of medication. But I guess the question would be, like, what are some of the causes that are behind why they're getting messed up?
I would say the number one cause would be understaffing. Nurses having a lot of patients or residents with limited time to get the medications administered. So they may rush, don't take the time to read the order correctly, read the medication label correctly, not enough time to take vital signs properly. But I would say understaffing, nurse to patient ratio, lack of training, lack of care.
So tell me, that's an interesting point. So tell me then, like, on a typical shift, at least what it's supposed to be, or what best practice might be, is it an individual nurse whose sole responsibility it is to wheel a cart around and give out medications, or is it kind of like you're assigned a certain amount of residents and somebody else another residents, and so there's more than one person giving out medications? Kind of walk us through that process.
No, not usually. So in a nursing home, you're probably going to have what they call units or wings. So you'll have one nurse assigned to sometimes up to 30 patients. And then it depends on if they're on the long-term care unit, like the resident lives there, like that's their home, or if they are on the skilled nursing or rehab unit. So sometimes those ratios, you know, it depends. The nurses on the long-term care units tend to have more patients than on the subacute, quote unquote, rehab units, because some of those residents are getting IVs and injections and things like that. So it's basically up to sometimes 30, 35 patients.
So in my mind, as you've described, then when you're saying that understaffing is a root cause for a lot of medication errors, it's because the one individual nurse has got her cart and is going as fast as she possibly can because she's got way too many people.
Correct. And dealing with anything else that happens during the med pass, as what they call med pass times. Normally there's a window an hour before, an hour after. So 2 hours to give out medications to up to 30 residents to deal with any falls, acute issues that may come up, staffing issues with CNAs, meal time, all of that going on at once. So sometimes it's almost impossible, honestly, to get those medications administered within a 2 hour window. But then they rush.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. You know, I can't even imagine, like, I mean, like, and again, like, depending, you got to take vitals and all that kind of stuff. And it can be pretty hairy. So in your experience, are there any medications that are kind of a little bit that pose a higher risk for medication error? Like, there's maybe certain medications that are more prone for people to mess up.
Right. Anticoagulants, like blood thinners. Some of those require labs, you know, monitoring, like Coumadin or warfarin. You should know what the levels are. You know, sometimes nurses, they don't know the levels. The level could be too high or too low, and they'll give the Coumadin. So that increases the risk of bleeding or clots. Diabetic medications like insulin, because you have to draw those up in the syringe. And if you're not familiar, or you can't see the lines on the syringe, or you're rushing, or choosing the wrong insulin is a big one. Antibiotics, not giving the medication in the amount of time that it was supposed to be given. So that puts residents at higher risk for sepsis and other infections.
Oh, I see. So not to cut you off. So I see. So like it's a risk, like where if it's supposed to be, let's say, once every 6 hours or once every 8 hours, and because of how behind you are, maybe you're only giving it once every 9 or 10 hours, that exposes that resident to a higher risk of XYZ.
Right. And there are some antibiotics that require drug levels too, which the labs needed to be drawn before you give the antibiotic. So they may give the antibiotic without the drug level being drawn. Then you have opiates, pain medications, high risk, overdose, things like that.
Well, you mentioned with Coumadin or blood thinners, there is a level that needs to be known before you give it. What I might have missed, you might have said it, but what is the level that you're looking at?
Oh, yeah. Usually it's the INR level. It's called an INR level. And it depends on why the patient is taking or resident is taking the Coumadin. So there's a range. Sometimes it's from 2 to 3. It just depends on what the reason is that they're taking the Coumadin. But those levels are typically done every week. So if you give Coumadin without knowing the level, you're really putting a resident at really high risk of other complications. So that when they give that one a lot in nursing facilities.
And who is who is the individual that's responsible for the administration of medication? Are we talking about CNAs, RNs, is the DON, LPN?
Usually LPN, usually. So an RN would probably be like the manager of the unit or the wing. Typically, you'll find LPNs that are the nurses that give medications. CNAs are not allowed to give medications. They can check certain vitals, which again, if the CNA does not take the vital signs correctly and the nurse uses that vital, another possibility for a medication error.
So there are a lot of things that can go wrong with the administration of medication, but let's kind of back up and look at a higher level. What are some of the policies that a nursing home might be able to put into place that would reduce the likelihood of a medication error?
I would say number one is training, proper training, empowering the staff to report errors to prevent further errors. I think a lot of staff, they do not report. I can only imagine how many errors go unreported, but just making the staff feel like it's okay to report errors. You know, I would say even getting a pharmacist involved in the training, the medical director, so that the staff can hear from higher level people. You know, when you're only hearing from the DON, you know, it becomes like, okay, we can't have medication errors. That's not really that effective. So when the staff can hear from like a pharmacist or a physician on the effects of medication errors and what happens, you know, to the residents, the injuries, the deaths, things like that. And to add to the pharmacist's role, they can do frequent medication reviews. That could be a policy that could be implemented. And also the use of technology, EMRs, automated medication dispensing systems, things like that.
So what about I guess it makes sense. It's the idea that you have to have somebody that it's not enough that you're climbing a ladder. You got to make sure the ladder's on the right wall. Otherwise, you've climbed the ladder on the wrong wall, right? So I get that. So that's the pharmacist, the attending physician, the medical director all being involved in the in-service process to kind of hone in on where they're having problems, I guess might be the best concept. So pretend that you've got a family that has a loved one in a nursing home and they have the litany of medications. What's some of the advice that you would give them to help reduce the likelihood that their loved one is going to get the wrong medication, wrong route, et cetera?
The number one thing I would say is to attend those care plan meetings. Sometimes families do not attend those meetings. They can be rapid, you know, they have so many to get done. So the medication list can be skipped or reviewed quickly. But if you have a family member present that say, hey, I would like to go over these medications. I want more information about it. What are the side effects? How are they supposed to be taking it? How often? That would be the number one thing that I would say that families should do. Also, communicating with the nurses. You know, if you're there visiting, you're at the bedside and they're coming in with something, ask questions. Hey, what is that for? Okay, can I see it? You know, how long have they been taking that? Those types of things. And that would make the staff more aware, you know. So I feel that families should ask questions, come to the care plan meetings, meet with the pharmacist if possible, because they can't request that, what they call a medication reconciliation, things like that.
I think that it's super important. We've talked about this many, many times in this podcast about taking part in the care plan meetings. But also, second to that is understanding what your loved one's baseline is. Like if they're normally cognitively impaired, you know, understand that versus like, do they have disturbances when the sun goes down, things like that. Understand the baseline. But you mentioned as part of your advice, what are the side effects of the medication? So it's important to understand that along with the baseline. How does the medication affect your loved one, from a day-to-day basis or a week-to-week basis? I think it's super important because then you know if something's out of whack, right? Well, Angela, we really very, very much appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with us.
Thank you for having me, Rob. Have a great day.
Well, folks, I hope that you found this episode educational. If you have an idea for a topic that you would like for me to discuss, please let me know that. If you have an idea for a guest that you would like for me to talk to, please let me know that as well. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every single Monday. And remember, please make sure that you enter for your chance to win the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug by inputting your answer to the Nursing Home Abuse Nursing Home Regulation Question of the Week, along with your favorite legal movie. Could be Legally Blonde, could be Pelican Brief, could be Runaway Jury. Again, 12 Angry Men is the correct answer. That's my favorite. But no, it's whatever you want it to be. And with that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.